Hey all, you are listening to the CS Mentor podcast, All Things Customer Success. My name is Ankit, and today I am with Puneet Kataria, who is founder at Customer Success Box, an AI-powered customer success software that not only manages your customer's portfolio, but also helps you to drive growth for your company and your customers. I have personally interacted with Puneet a couple of times earlier on different CS topics, and I always wanted to bring him on my podcast. Glad that this day has finally come. Puneet's journey has been really inspiring. He started out as an engineer, made a shift to sales before finally setting up his company, Customer Success Box. Puneet, a very warm welcome to you. It's great to have you here. And thank you very much for agreeing to come on this podcast today to share your thoughts.
Thank you so much, Ankit. It is such a pleasure. And I think it's absolutely, truly inspiring to see customer success leaders and players like yourself and so passionate about this subject to be running a dedicated customer success podcast. I'm you know, when I started my customer success journey, which was 6-7 years ago, that was I wish I had all these podcasts and so much content available. But such a honor to be on your podcast. Thanks for the invite.
Thank you, Puneet. And before we start talking about our topic, setting up a customer success department in your organization, Puneet, I think it would be great to know more about you, a little bit introduction to who you are, your career to date, and how you got the idea of starting Customer Success Box.
Oh, lovely. That'll be hard to keep it short, but I'll try. hey, everyone. My name is Puneet, and the journey was very simple. After I finished my bachelor's and master's in computer education, also picked up another master's in management. And after that, had a good corporate run. I'd initially started as an engineer, was writing code for about five, six years or so in my career. One of the highlights of that was I wrote code for Airbus A380 weather radar program, which was pretty fancy. I still love airplanes. Mm-hmm. Was part of Honeywell at that point in time. And then after that, what I say, I moved to the dark side. That's how I tell my engineer friends. I started selling software. And I've been selling software for good, 15 years. And interesting thing that happened was around 2006 is when one of my companies, I was with IBM at that point in time, acquired another SaaS company for the first time. So I've been fortunate enough to be plugged into the SaaS world since 2006. But fast forward to a bunch of other companies, I eventually rose up the corporate ladder as a VP of worldwide sales for a SaaS company. But interestingly, in my last employment as a non-founder, as VP of worldwide sales, I was measured on MRR. Monthly recurring revenue. And I didn't think I realized at that point in time, what I was signing up my incentives for. And a few months in, and I realized like my sales team's kicking ass and they're making all their incentives. We are adding so many customers, but why am I not making any incentives? Something must be wrong. And then I learned about that. There's a leak in the bucket. We are adding like, let's say 100 customers and we're losing 100 customers every month. So it's like running on a treadmill. You're not going anywhere. And that was my introduction to, 7 years ago, that was my introduction to a word called customer churn or leaky bucket, as it's known today. Mm-hmm. And so fast forward to today, I realized that, back then that customer retention, customer churn is going to be a big problem. Customer retention, net dollar retention is going to be a big thing. And I decided to move all chips into Customer Success Box. So in so many ways, just looking backwards, I'm just helping myself back in the day. And hence Customer Success Box.
Great. What an inspiring journey, Puneet. And, I noticed like how you actually turned a problem into a solution. Great journey, Puneet. And when I started researching about you, I noticed that your company, Customer Success Box, is helping organizations to set up and streamline their CS function, right? So I'm just curious, when do companies realize that they need a CS department? And according to you, what's the best time to set up a CS function?
Absolutely. And I think that's a very interesting topic. Something that we have learned and we have seen businesses connect with us, reach out in the community at various occasions when they are trying to set up customer success function, mm-hmm. when they've tried and failed and they're making their second attempt, and or when they have been very successful. So we've learned by working with, I think, hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of customer success leaders across the world, across specifically the digital SaaS industry. And I'll be more than happy to share. Now, first, just to make it clear, there are a couple of distinctions. So we are going to be talking about when to set up a customer success function.
Okay.
When will you need a customer success technology is going to be, I'll touch upon it a little bit in between, okay. but that's an altogether different conversation. We also have a blog on it. Probably we can, right. you know, share that link, sure. you know, with you for your notes. But let's get into, you know, when is a good time to set up customer success.
Right.
There is a very good talk by Mark Ruberg, mm-hmm. who was the ex-CRO of HubSpot. You should yeah. absolutely check him out. I was fortunate enough to, you know, sort of hear him live a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Where he explains there are two ways of building a company. You know, one, you can solve the acquisition problem, mm-hmm. but deal with churn as it happens. And then, and when your acquisition problem is solved, then you go ahead and handle churn at some point in time and try to fix the product or fix the processes or fix whatever that is causing those churns. Or you can take your time, build it the right way. Because if you're struggling with churn problem, then after you've solved the acquisition problem, your investors or you, your internal own KPIs and growth targets will struggle because churn is going to be like dead weight, which is constantly going to hold you back. Yeah. Whereas if you've built it the right way, where you first solve the churn problem mm-hmm. before you start to scale, then I think the sky is going to be the limit because there's literally nothing stopping you mm-hmm. from hitting that, not just being a unicorn, but even beyond. And I think that's the side of, or that's the thought process that I come from. I think sooner the better, although this is a very, very generic advice, but I'm going to be more specific as we go. Go further, but I just wanted to call out that there are a couple mm-hmm. of ways, and this particular talk that I mentioned, again, we can put it in your notes. I think it'll be a good further reading, further reference material for your listeners.
Got it.
Okay. Now let me answer that in a little bit more by covering and talking about a little bit more nuance. And this is a very important yeah. question, so I'm going to take my time. I'm not going to rush through this one
mm-hmm.
because this is the big one that everybody sort of struggles with. Before I get into nuance, I'm going to take one more moment to talk about whose problem is customer success or whose problem is customer retention, customer churn. So a lot of people think that customer retention is a customer success department, customer success functions problem.
Yeah.
Nothing can be far from the truth. See, mm-hmm. customer success is an industry-wide problem. Is an organization-wide problem. Mm-hmm. That means you could have a broken product, you could have a broken process, you could have a broken onboarding process, you could have a broken integration challenges, you could have data challenges, you've got data sanity challenges, you could have a positioning challenge. You might be bringing in the wrong customers to start with. Your product right. is built for customer A, you're bringing in customer B. So there could be so many things broken, and I think there is an altogether different strategy to first analyzing that, again, which is not the part of our topic, but I just wanted to call it out, that customer success function is going to, I think, force you to bring structure and practice,
right.
and but be fully aware of, even after setting up customer success function, that it might give you pointers that something else outside the customer success function is broken. So
right.
whenever you're making that decision, don't just, you know, keep replacing your customer success leaders or your team, or changing your processes that or technology that alone. Don't look at it in a silo of customer success mm-hmm. when you're trying to solve customer retention as a challenge. I think look at it as an org-wide, from engineering to product to yeah. even the kind of sales that we you know, customers that we bring in. With that said, now let's finally get into the nuances of when is the right time to set up customer yeah. success function.
Absolutely.
First thing, I think. When it comes to when,
yeah.
I would say sooner the better.
Yeah.
A customer success function needs to be a pure customer success function. Just by renaming, rebranding your customer support team, and I'll talk about in a minute what I mean by customer support team, but by rebranding or renaming or giving them a new title to a customer support team is not going to cut it. Or True. If you're going to say, oh, we just have a joint team, they do both support and success. Sorry to tell you, anybody who's running on an SLA, when somebody writes to you at support@yourcompany.com or whether they give you a call or whatever your channels of support or a chat, whatever your channel of support are, when they're running on an SLA to respond back, there is no way they can ever find bandwidth to be proactive.
They'll
usually be inundated. And also a lot of time it's almost impossible. Okay, I'll say it's very difficult, if not almost impossible, to switch between proactive and reactive context. Maybe founders can do that, but then we're talking about too early stage. But I think as soon as you have the luxury that you've got a support function, which can be a dedicated support function, and you can have a dedicated customer success team, that is the first opportunity when you should think about setting up a customer success function. But it should be a separate customer success function, which should be proactive, not reactive. They should not be waiting for the customer to reach out to them, but actually they should be being data-driven. And that's where all technology comes into play. They should be data-driven so that they are proactive. They're not waiting for somebody to reach out. Second, so that's around the org structure. And again, we can go into more detail at some stage. There might be other expansions to the org structure that you may want to look at. The second thing that I see is I think a lot of time you need to look at what is the situation. See, there is no right or wrong answer. If there was like let me try to give you first a very, very simple answer. You know, for if you don't want to ignore all nuances, if I have to give you one single answer, I'll say, definitely you should have a customer success function once you've hit $1 million ARR. If you've hit $1 million ARR and you're just about to start, I think it's a good time. If you start early, you're going to get that advantage, but not everybody is going to have that luxury. And some of you might be actually required to start sooner than $1 million ARR. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Now let's come back to what are the nuanced answers more. Here is one big fact. It does not matter when you want to start customer success as a function. See, what is more important is, when do your customers expect you to have a customer success team in place? A dedicated customer success manager who's guiding them, recommending, who's handholding them to success. And that is a lot more harder question to answer, because that depends on so many things.
Right.
Now, here is what I'm going to tell you. First of all, what are your customers' expectations? Do they expect to be, you know, handheld? Do they expect somebody to set up a kickoff call with them? Do they expect somebody to reach out to them? Do they expect a one-on-one training? Do they expect that you help them configure your platform? All of those things. And you should probably, you know, think about all those factors. If the answers to all those is yes, then you 100% need to set in a customer success function in your pricing, because that's going to be part of your unit economics literally from day one. You don't have a choice.
Yes.
But if you are, let's say, a $10 a month or a, you know, $29 a month SaaS product, very legit SaaS product, versus let's say thousands of dollars a month SaaS product, then you know you may have customers who don't expect you to, you know, deliver a white glove service or have a human interface to it. And maybe just tech touch is good enough. Then you want to think about customer success as more like customer marketing. Well, that's also a customer success function, but more of a tech touch driven customer success function.
That's right.
So customer expectation, I think, are paramount. Then some of the other things that are going to also hint upon that are, what is the nature of the problem that you're solving? What is the underlying problem that your technology solves? How complicated is that?
Complicated.
Is it like a 15 minutes onboarding process? Is it a 1 day onboarding process? Is it 1 week? Or is it a 12 weeks onboarding process? Obviously, if it's a 12-week onboarding process, it is going to be a lot more complicated, multiple stakeholders, literally a mini project that you're running to onboard them. And that will 100% require not just customer success, but maybe even a dedicated customer onboarding team. And again, a separate topic, when do you decide to have one team or a separate team? But that's another good indicator. What is the underlying challenges that your technology is solving for your customer and how complicated is that situation and scenario. Another thing, a reflection of that will also show up in your how complicated is your product. Because if the underlying problem is complicated, then your product is likely requiring a lot of a lot of setting up. And I think that is where, again, you will need to think about is a customer success function needed or not.
Got it.
Then another angle that you want to think about, and I'm going from one angle to another, I know.
Yeah.
Another angle that you want to think about is, what sort of industry are you serving?
Mm-hmm.
How adverse, how comfortable is your customer to using technology? Is this the first time that they're using technology to solve this problem? Or are they used very friendly in using technology? Let me give you a few examples. Let's say if you're selling to developers, if you have a SaaS product which is selling to developers. Now, interestingly, developers, you know, obviously they love technology, they build technology, they're on the forefront of technology.
Right.
But they also don't like talking to a lot of customer
Right. That's what I have seen.
Right. So they would want a lot of tech touch. Right. So that is the nature of the industry and the customer that you're serving. On the other hand, if you've got doctors, if you've got construction workers, while they are not very friendly to tech, one, they all want to be and they aspire to be. I think as a society across the world, we want to do that. But they would expect somebody to handle them and guide them and make them feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Even if your product is very simple or even the problem that you're solving is very simple, it is the nature of the customer and the industry that you're serving.
Yeah.
On the other hand, let's say if you're a CRM or a MarTech platform. Now, a marketer is usually very tech friendly, but they will appreciate the guidance if they are trying to set up more complicated you know, workflows and trying to use a lot more advanced features and stuff. So they would expect, at least at a certain plan, they would expect, or a certain price point, they would expect customer success managers to sort of handle them and help them out. So those were a few examples of, again, the industry, how educated your customer is. Now, another one is, how educated is your customer? Is your technology one of the earlier players in solving a particular problem? That means they've never solved this problem with technology. You are moving your customers from a paper-based system, which is hardly any though, but I think in the tech world, there are hardly any, but outside the tech world, you'll find a lot more. So if you're moving your customers from a paper-based, you know, process to a technology process, or even an Excel sheet process to a technology process, that means their majority of your market is deploying the platform for the first time.
Yeah.
That means they will appreciate and they would even expect and they would even need a lot of handholding before they can be successful. So I think you want to think about all of these pieces
together
and cohesively aside for yourself. Because I think once you think through all the aspects, the answer will come to you automatically. And probably as I was speaking, you know, a lot of you already had been thinking about you know, all of these aspects in your own situations, and you already know the answer. So, I'm almost certain that 80-90% of you have figured out a strategy, and 50-60% of it, at least, you are thinking, "Oh shit, we are already late in starting customer success." A few more, if you want to know, is of course if you've got a recurring business, because in recurring business model, people you're charging them as a stream of revenue. You're not charging them one time. You're in a subscription economy, you're charging them month on month, quarter on quarter, year on year. So the customers expect a stream of value. It's not one-time value, it's a stream of value. So you need to continuously make sure that you're delivering value through product, and customer success helps.
Right.
Then you're thinking about if you are struggling with delivering success, you are able to deliver success in some cases, but you're not able to deliver success in some other cases. That means you don't have a repeatable process. That means you're dependent on, and this might be true for a lot of, you know, businesses who are maybe even past tens of millions of revenue, millions of dollars of revenue in ARR, but still do not have a dedicated customer success function. It's not large enough. It's not well built enough. And one of the biggest reasons why you want to, you know, invest in, because you might be relying on what I call heroes within your customer success or customer onboarding department, and sometimes even heroes on your customer side, that sometimes you're successful, but sometimes you're not. And you are always scratching your head, you know, what's broken.
Correct.
So if you want a repeatable process, if you want a predictability around onboarding, around recurring revenue, you want a better handle on forecasting, all those are larger pieces for larger organizations. You know, once you pass tens of millions of dollars in revenue, if you do not have a customer success function yet, I can't tell you enough. You're already late. You are leaving money on the table. You're leaving growth on the table. You're leaving a lot of recurring revenue. You're leaving a lot of portfolio growth. And if you are anywhere below 125, 130% net dollar retention, then I think you 100% are late to the party. If you're not the CEO, you know, push this podcast to your CEO.
Great. Thanks for those insights, Puneet. Wonderful information that you have given, and that too, you know, in those kind of explanatory manner. Now, moving on to a different topic, Puneet. Now, we have spoke about setting up the CS function, when to start it, but setting it up right is another big challenge. Because what I've seen so far is in numerous organizations, organizations actually start from getting a CS software maybe, and then they either fail or end up implementing a half-baked solution, or they have loopholes in it. So because of this, what happens is they are not getting the perfect ROI from the software, and they are not getting the perfect ROI from the CS department. I think it generally happens because they are not sure of their own goals, what they want to get out of the CS department. So what do you think should be the remedy to this problem?
No, I think that's an excellent question. So I think we are jumping from now that we have convinced you or helped you figuring out, okay, whether you want a customer success function set up or not.
Yeah.
Like, okay, hold on. These are the pitfalls to watch for, especially when you're setting it up. I think setting up customer success function or any function from that matter is a lot more nuanced, a lot more detailed than it originally sounds like. So I think happy to share some of the learnings and probably, you know, at least a few pitfalls that I can warn you that you should avoid. So we're not talking about customer success software here. We'll talk about it as part of it, but I'm talking in general about customer success as a function.
Uh-huh.
So first thing first, I think we need to be very clear about two things. So one that you absolutely mentioned, Ankit, and let me start with that. What are the objectives of your customer success team? Now, I think every leader, every CEO, every founder knows that, okay, I know the objectives and here are the objectives, right? And just hear me out, guys. So here are the objectives. My objectives are that I want to reduce churn or stop churn.
Yeah.
I want to, you know, onboard my customers in a repeatable, consistent, effortless way and speed up my onboarding. I think that's great. I want to drive upsell. I want to drive advocacy. I want to get referrals. I think those are fantastic channels. You know, that's like defining, if you're at the base camp of Mount Everest and you want to say, hey, what's your destination? The objective is to get to the peak of the Mount Everest. Everyone knows that. That's get it.
Yeah.
You will have to carve out a route. And that is where your success and failure happens. You know your end destination, and these are, you know, 5, 7, 10 different goals.
Yeah.
Which goal do you want to address in the first 3 months, in the first quarter, in the first 2 quarters, the first year?
Mm-hmm.
That is going to define your failures and successes. What I've seen consistently, you know, CEOs defining this very, very large, founders setting this very, very large multi-KPI goal for customer success departments. And this is, you know, frankly, a department that never existed. You're still figuring out the KPIs, and you don't have any processes, don't even have a leader, don't even have a team, forget technology, you don't even have technology, and you don't even have none of that. And you're setting up, I think, very unrealistic expectations. And I think what is more important is if it's okay to have multiple goals, but as long as you can at least prioritize them at the very least.
Yeah.
If you can actually just carve out one or max two goals for the first quarter, first 2 quarters, I think that will be so focused. That focus will help your customer success team, your department, your leader to deliver the true, you know, truly on that KPI versus, you know, giving them 5 goals.
Mm.
Another thing, I think every founder probably knows that by starting so many new departments, you probably know that while you've sorted those goals out, sometimes it might be completely okay to not have, you know, goals for the first KPIs or measurable targets, targets. I'll tell you, you still want to measure, but what do you want to measure? It's okay to not have a target of, you know, we want to reduce churn by X percent, for example, in the first 6 months. Don't set that target in the first 6 months. I'll tell you why. Why? Because in the first 3 months, 6 months, you'll be running a lot of experiments.
Right. Yeah.
Up these trainings and see, is it going to help onboard better? Is it going to reduce churn? Let's set up, you know, QBRs, a quarterly business review, but hey, we don't know how to do QBRs. Let's try and see, is that going to help our customers? Let's try to run a feedback campaign, a net promoter score campaign, and let's try to calculate account health and see, is that the true indicator? Let's try to be data driven. And there will be so many opportunities to, before you roll them out and before you sort of scale them and step on the gas pedal, you will be running these experiments.
Right.
So everything you're trying for the first time in a very MVP style is a hypothesis, is an experiment. Mm. And at the end of the hypothesis, at the end of the experiment, you want to learn whether, is this worth doing? Have we achieved what we thought we did? Or what have we learned? And then based on that, you want to move forward. So I think don't be too hard on your customer success team or your customer success leader by giving them unrealistic targets. I think give them space to run experiments. In fact, sit down with them and tell them that, hey, what are the three experiments that you're going to run to, let's say, reduce churn or to onboard customers better? Define those three experiments. Agree that these three experiments, the first one we're going to run in the first month and run, maybe depending on how detailed or how long that experiment is. It might be a 1 week experiment. I think 1 week is going to be hard. 1 month experiment or a 3 month experiment. And based on that, you can, learning and sort of start to take from there. Now, interestingly, some of your listeners might also be very, very large organizations, $10 million plus ARR, even $25 million, even we've seen $50 million plus ARR businesses and still don't have a customer success department. And there, I think once you sort of realize what you've been missing on, there is a pressure to roll out the department very, very quickly. So you might want to, hire so many people, like 20 member, 50 member customer success team in 1 year. That might be a lot of pressure. So that leads to point number two. And that's true for both large and the small ones. So that's the biggest thing that will help you in setting the right direction is don't start with the team. Start with a customer success leader.
Mm.
You need a customer success lead before you want to start a customer success function.
Mm.
Now, let me also call it very, very clearly what is a customer success leader. So when we sometimes meet founders and CEOs and they say, oh, don't worry, customer success is our number one priority.
Yeah.
This customer success rolls up to me as a CEO. Or sometimes even as a VP of sales says customer success rolls up to me. Now, unfortunately, guys, that is not a customer success leader. I'll tell you, if as a founder or a CEO, customer success rolls up to you, I'll tell you, in measurable terms, they probably have 1/10 or probably even worse, 1/5 of the leader, because 90% of your time as a CEO, you are busy in non-customer success related things. As a CEO founder, obviously you're expected.
You're expected to work on everything.
Exactly. And I'm not saying, you don't intend to do justice to customer success, but you are not going to be giving 100% of your time. And in fact, I will even say same goes for a VP of sales. A VP of sales, when you give the additional responsibility of CS to them, I think you're setting up CS function as a second class citizen right there. Because VP of sales is going to be driven by usually when a VP of sales is given the CS function pieces, they're not trained, they're not educated from a CS perspective.
Yes,
they're
the still
VP of sales first and VP of CS later.
Mm.
Number two, majority of the time, their incentives are still on acquisitions.
Yeah,
that means you're incentivizing them on growing. Bringing in customers. And even if you do fix the incentives on recurring revenue, see their comfort level, what they are good at is acquisition.
So
they'll always, if I am VP of sales, and I was a VP of sales, so I can tell you by at least by my personal experience, if back in the day when I had to deal with churn, like, okay, I'm going to lose these many customers. So how many customers do I need to acquire more to cover up for that? Because that's my strength.
Right. Your mindset is completely different. Okay, if I'm losing, let's say, 10 customers, I might, get 11 or 12 customers to check, cover it up. And that's how I would have positive ratio and everything.
Spot on. And so I'd say the second biggest pitfall is before you hire a team, identify a customer success leader. I think that is going to go a long way. And then allow this individual to collaborate with you, to collaborate with the product, to collaborate with, to choose the right processes, let him have the data, let him play with the data, give him or her space to experiment and share the learnings with the experiment before you start putting them on any sorts of targets.
Got it. Thanks for sharing those tips, Puneet. So we briefly spoke about setting up the CS structure right, the goals, and hiring the right CS leader. Now, you know, as we all know, CS is not just a one-man show, and we need to have other people as well. Now, definitely, there are many CS people in market, and I have seen recently in 2019, 2020, not 2021, there have been huge amount of opening for customer success managers, and I know companies are doing pretty well. But the other question is, how do we structure the team right? Because we might be able to find people, but I think the bigger question is, how do we structure them right so that we can give our 100%?
Right. I think it's a great question, because a lot of time people understand that they need customer success. They understand, you know, why they want it, and they're willing to, you know, do what it takes to to, you know, the space, time, effort, energy, money, investments, all of that to commit behind a CS function. But the struggle is, what is the structure to start with? I think I already talked about it. So I think at a bare bone, you make sure it's a dedicated customer success team. It's not picking up tickets.
Rebranded.
Yeah, it's not. I think it is okay to move people from especially if there are always customer support reps who are always proactive, you know, just by the nature of their personality. They're just so passionate about customers, and they go beyond the boundaries of, you know, customer success rule box, if I can put it like that. And they're always more proactive, and it's okay to start with them. And I'll talk about that probably. Yeah. But make sure that your customer success function is not picking up support tickets. In fact, it is very common. I'll give you a little bit more extreme example. It's very common, and it's a recommended practice that when a customer success manager is helping out a customer on, let's say, a more strategic, you know, business outcome, delivering, helping them, guiding them, coaching them to deliver an outcome for the next quarter using your technology. And let's say in the customer, all of us struggles, okay, how do I set up this particular report? Or, hey, I'm facing challenge in this indication, or, you know, that data point is not coming out clean. All those are product how-to questions or product, you know, challenges. It is okay for the customer success manager to actually create a ticket, or either ask the customer to create a ticket or create a ticket on behalf of the customer, or jointly do that. And get that addressed or answered by a customer support function. So customer success function is always a lot more strategic role. It's a lot more consultative role. Right. It's a lot more, advisory role to your customers rather than solving the how-to problems. It's more about what all your technology can deliver to your customers. And that is the goal of your customer success, to fulfill that.
Deliver.
How-tos are solved by your product team and your guide
support team
and a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
Some of the more complicated, they can probably dive in, and depending on, you know, at least but the data or the, you know, structuring needs to be done right. And if your product, I think we talked about, if your product is actually getting deployed in a lot more complicated situation that your customer has, or too many data points, too many stakeholders, long onboarding cycles and stuff, you may want to consider, and you should consider, a dedicated customer onboarding team at times. Now, there are pros and cons of having a separate onboarding team versus letting your customer success manager own onboarding as well. Depending on how specialist of a job that is, especially if it's a very technical product, that means you require an engineer, whereas your customer success manager might be a business person helping helping customers sort of get onto the business goal. So another area to structure well will be to have a dedicated customer onboarding team, and they can do, you know, a customer onboarding head or customer onboarding director, and roll up to a VP of CS eventually. But at a bare bone, I think support team, onboarding team, customer
success team.
Other pieces that you can add, if you are selling, let's say, $100,000 plus in ACV of your product, then it is okay to even have somebody who wears a professional renewal/salesy hat to make sure that the renewals happen, and any negotiation around that is required, because customer success may or may not be very good at it, but they are expected to own renewals.
Yeah.
That is the direction in which you want to mature your own customer success team. May not be in the first year, but eventually in the second, third year. And that's the clear direction that customer success is moving in. Unless you're talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands to multi-million dollar contracts, with individual customer. That way you want an account manager, as it's called, to be owning the commercials. Another team that you may want to consider, again, depending on if your customers expect, if your market expects, you to have a professional services team.
Yeah.
The professional services team can come in and, you know, they can help set up individual projects or onboard your technology on individual projects, individual departments and things like those. So multiple pieces. So just repeating it all, customer support, bare minimum, you should have it in place. Without customer support, don't start customer success. So it's meaningless. They'll end up doing support, right? Then you start customer success. After that, customer onboarding, if there is need and luxury. Then after that, account manager, if you're large enough, and professional services, again, if the market expects and things like this.
Great. Thanks for sharing those tips, Puneet. Now we briefly spoke about the CS goals, finding the right leader. Then we spoke about structuring the team. Now we have covered 2 to 3 aspects, but let's talk a bit more about the scale. As you know, a lot of teams, they are running on Excel sheets, or sometimes they are using manual things, or they think that, okay, everything is there in their mind. But when the company scales and you have like thousands of customers, how do you use technology there to, you know, ramp up everything and help you out in finding upsells, churn prediction, and everything? Like, how do you use technology there?
No, absolutely. I think it's a brilliant question. So now let's talk finally about customer success technology. So I think, so first of all, I'll give you, you know, very, very high level, you know, pieces. So I think technology is there in every aspect to work for you, with you, for your customer success team, whether you want to automate, whether you want to be data driven, whether you want to be data rich, all of those aspects. And that's true in every aspect. But again, why does customer success technology needs to be different than any existing technology that you already have in place? So for example, a lot of the founders probably are thinking, oh, we already have a great CRM. I've got HubSpot, I've got Salesforce, I've got Pipedrive, I've got like, you know, so many other great CRMs. Are like, there are like literally hundreds of them, and all of them are fantastic. Yeah. Why do I need another customer success technology? So as all of us are in SaaS business, right? While we are all in SaaS business, softwares is what we work with, deal with, sell, build for a living. But everything. None of us want to log into one more technology, right? At the end of the day, because we've got ample products to log into every day. So in spite of that, why did customer success technology as a category came out? Let's address that. See, CRM is basically a system of records. Okay. So while CRM is a system of records, every data point is entered in a CRM. It's like, okay, who's the customer, name of the customer, who's your contact? I think the data gets enriched, but you still have to manually, either the lead will enter the phone numbers or stuff manually, or you're going to enrich the data, or you'll put it on behalf of the customer. And basically the data gets punched in from thin air. And then over time, you know, you move them and you exchange all emails, and the entire history gets built up, right? But when it comes to, so it's a system of records, you know, who's this customer, all of that, what it tells you, and then a bunch of reporting on top of it. But when you think about customer success technology is not system of records. I think it is a system of records because bring data from all other places, but you don't have to punch in data majority of the time. You integrate from your core sources, whether it's CRM, whether it's your subscription billing, your invoicing from QuickBooks, whether it is subscription billing from ChargeBees, Auras of the world, whether it is your support tickets from Zendesk, Freshdesk, Intercoms of the world, all that, and of course your CRMs like HubSpot and Salesforce of the world. You bring in all that data to build a 360-degree view. But I think the most important point, you know, that why CRMs can't be customer success technologies is because customer success is a system of intelligence. That, what does that mean? That means that customer success listens to what your customers are doing and using in your product. And they use product telemetry, which is a very different stream of data. We receive like billions and billions of events. For example, in Customer Success Box, which is a customer success platform, we receive even today, we receive about 25 billion plus events, tracking more than 2.5 million users, end users for our customers every month. for processing. And it's that crunching of data where we are able to generate account health, triggers, alerts, risk alerts, upsell signals for customer success managers, which tells them that, hey, here is an account that needs your help for this reason, for this user, for this persona, and they need it now. So the job is for customer success technology is to actually guide, or should I say orchestrate, a customer success manager's attention to the right account for the right time, at the right time for the right reason.
Mm.
Whether it is intervention, de-risking the account, whether it is an intervention to drive an upsell whenever that moment arrives, or whether even if it's automated triggers for advocacies and whatnot. And your interventions could be automated. Your interventions could be completely, that an alert goes or a task is created for your customer success manager, or it could be hybrid. You try a bunch of automation. If that fails, and then it gets escalated to or passed on to the customer success managers. So from a technology perspective, a CRM is a system of records. A customer success technology like Customer Success Box is a system of intelligence.
And
a whole bunch of things. So you want repeatable processes, you want actionability, you want all these alerts, you want all these automation. When a health dips, then you want to trigger a alert, you want to trigger an email to your customers, you want to also start a process or trigger an entire playbook or a process for your customer success manager to follow through on that, so that nothing gets slipped under the radar,
no
dropped, and essentially you're always on the top. And this is how you are going to be proactive.
Yeah.
See, with technology, at best, for example, let's say, hey, but I've got CRM and my team is doing fantastic and they're following a perfect onboarding process. Agreed. They're following the process. They're not being data driven. Let me tell you what I mean by that. How do you define great customer, how do you define a successful customer onboarding? A successful customer onboarding is not finishing all your trainings in, let's say, 30 days, whatever your time limits are, right? Yeah. A great customer onboarding is after you've trained the customer. Let's say if you're a CRM, if you've trained the customer on this is how you create reports, has the customer actually gone ahead and created those reports? Has the training translated into product adoption?
Mm.
And has that product adoption translated into business outcomes? So we talk about three aspects. The CSM activity, or what we call the effort.
Yeah.
Which is what the processes will come into play.
Yeah.
The second is going to be product adoption milestones. We call them PAMs. Mm. And third is business outcome, and we call them BOMs, business outcome management. So customer tasks, product options, and business outcomes. So those are all the aspects that we combine together. And all of this needs to be data-driven. When do you intervene is data-driven, not that you are running like a mindless cadence of calling every customer every month. Because I'll tell you, 3 months later, that call will not be answered because you've got no substance to even make that call.
Mm.
Whereas some customers might require a call, multiple times a week because they are struggling. So you want to focus your energy on the ones who need help and not divide your energy equally. Otherwise, you're making a lot of effort, very little reward. But if you're being data-driven, your effort is focused where it's needed.
Where it's needed.
And you can put in less effort and get a lot more rewards.
Mm.
That is what customer technology opens. Without customer technology, I'm sorry to say, you are basically running a proactive customer success team. They might be process run or a cadence run, but that's a time-bound process, not a data run process.
Data run.
Not a trigger run. It's not intelligence driven.
Mm.
Okay, and with Customer Success Box, we are talking about AI and all of that stuff, but that's more getting into customer success technology. But I think in the world that we live in today, which is data abundant, there is absolutely no reason why you should be running blind. And by the way, some of you might be thinking that, hold on, I've got an analytics tool, right? I've got mixed panel, I've got segment, I've got heap analytics, amplitude, all of that stuff. I think those are great analytics tool. And I absolutely recommend you have them. But keep in mind, they're not built for customer success managers. They're built for your product managers. Your product managers love to see, I just released this new feature, what percentage of my users across thousands of them have adopted. And it's good indicator for your product manager. These are good inputs. But for a customer success manager, he/she needs, I've got this account which is coming up for renewal in the next 60 days. I want to know what is their health. I want to know, are they jointly, has their MRR, has their adoption on key measures gone up or gone down? And to do that, if this guy has to, you know, dive and swim into data for 4 hours and still scratch his head, so do I need to call this guy today or not? Then I think you've lost the purpose. In fact, the purpose of an analytics tool is actually, it's a data-rich tool. It provides you data to, and you know, all the UI to dive and play with data. But for a customer success manager, 99.99% of that data is noise, because that is just usual. Business as usual. The purpose of a customer success box, for example, the way we build customer success box, is to suppress 99.99% noise and show you just that 0.1%, which is interesting, which needs an intervention, a trigger, whether automated or manual. And that is how you look at customer success technology. So, you know, trust me, with or without customer success technology, it's a world of difference. You will not be doing any, there is no proactive customer success without customer success tech. Sorry, it's like, that's how clean, crisp, opinionated I am. You may agree, disagree, but that's our, that's been
that's
our
true, experience. Puneet, you know, and I like what you mentioned with the data tools that they are. You get a lot of data, but whatever it is, it's mostly noise. I think as customer success managers, we analyze a lot of data already. You know, there is a lot to see. And additional things like this would burden us more. So what we should get instead is actionable insights that something like
spot on
customer success box can give to us. So that's what.
No, absolutely. Because, you know, what we've seen then is like, oh, don't worry, I'm not using any Mixpanel or anything, but actually I have my own data warehouse and I've attached a business intelligence on top. So like a BI layer of, whether it's a Looker or a
Tableau or something,
or a Power BI or Tableau or Metabase or whatever, right? Now, see, any BI tool is, again, I think it's a great platform. It's proven its might and worth over time. They're basically visualizations over existing data. While it has its challenges and complications that you can't set it up and the streaming data are almost difficult, you typically don't have them in your warehouses. What customer success technologies like customer success box that we have. Again, not every customer success technology deals with listening to product telemetry, but we do. We are a complete full suite customer success technology platform. But BI, again, is only going to pop that you still will have to go to a BI platform to see what is happening. Whereas a customer success technology is the way it is built is the moment a trigger comes, the moment, you know, a risk happens, the customer success manager will be alerted. So the alert will reach their Slack, their inbox, wherever they
exist. At the right time.
Then that will auto-create, that will auto-trigger a playbook or a task, and that will auto-timeline. And that basically means, or even automatically reach out to the customers. Like, hey, I saw that you were trying to use this particular module in my product, but I saw that you were not able to roll it out completely. Let's set up a call. Here is my calendar link. Let's set up a call. I'll help you. That's a great automation.
Yeah.
And your customer success manager comes in the morning and he says, oh, I've got 2 trainings on this new module that my customer struggled with, without moving a finger.
Yeah.
And that's being productive customer success. Right. So you automate the mundane and you, that to be in a very data-driven smart way, and you use your customer success manager skills to nudge, to educate, to train, to guide your and handhold your customers to success.
Great, great tips, Puneet. You know, I think we have covered a lot of ground here. And before we close this conversation, I would just like to ask if you have anything else that you want to share with our audience today, possibly some common pitfalls for implementing customer success, whatever you would like to share.
I think to all the aspiring customer success managers, to aspiring customer success leaders, to all the new customer success leaders, I think all of us are new, including myself. It is such a new space, you know. I think I believe I heard somebody say this, and I really love this. See, customer success as a community is, no matter how large it is, but it is a village at the top. That means we all know each other, we all help each other out, we all are connected very well to each other. We are all learning together,
correct.
And we will all need to succeed together as well. So I think customer success is a function which is here to
correct.
Stay. It is going to take many forms and shapes. We need a lot of innovation. We need a lot of new thinking, new strategizing. So don't be afraid to experiment. Don't be afraid to, you know, reach out and ask for budgets if you need to, for technologies, for running new experiments, for additional team members, for additional approaches. Be there and keep sharing, keep connecting, keep plugging in. You're welcome to connect with me on LinkedIn. You're welcome to follow us on blogs. I do share my videos occasionally whenever I can find bandwidth. We're a small organization, so sometimes we stretch for bandwidth. But people like Ankit, you know, I'm always encouraged, and their passion always rubs upon me. So I learn and I draw my energy from all of you. I think it's a great, great, great place. Subscription economy, everything is moving to that. That is the core driver behind customer success. Everything is going to be, you know, X dollars per month, per year, no matter it's B2C or B2B. And in B2B, customer success managers will absolutely be required. I think while everybody requires technology, wants technology at the end goal, but technology can still be very hard to implement, still be complicated to get most out of. And hence, that is the reason why customer success leaders and players and people are needed like yourself to actually deliver success. Okay. And I think renewals and growth and all of that stuff will happen on its own. Renewal is going to be a non-event if you've delivered success. So, there are more conversation I've had on renewals, but I think that's all I'll say. It's a career path that you can absolutely trust, and hope to stay. And by LinkedIn, I don't know how many of you know, if you want a data point, then I think both for 2019 and 2020, LinkedIn has declared this as the number one non-tech most promising career across the world. Now that's a big thing when LinkedIn says that. I'm like, you don't get better data points than that. It's a very fulfilling, very promising career. There could be, very, very challenging. You get the satisfaction of, so it's very challenging because you're going to be learning so much, but it could be very fulfilling because you get the satisfaction of helping someone out literally every day. And I think there are very few professions who can actually give you that satisfaction at the end of the day. So
right, thanks for sharing that, Puneet, and it has been both a pleasure and an education to have you here on the podcast today. I think you and Customer Success Box are both doing great in this field, and I will continue to follow you with utmost interest. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much, Ankit.
Thank you so much for taking out your time. And just to remind you, I have been talking to Puneet Kataria, founder at Customer Success Box, and we have been discussing how to set up a CS function in your organization. My name is Ankit, and you are listening to the CS Mentor Podcast. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I look forward to talking to you again.